Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Today, Governor Charlie Baker announced new efforts to control the coronavirus in five high-risk cities and towns. Governor Baker urged residents to avoid gatherings and outlined new tools for Everett, Lynn, Revere, Chelsea, and Lawrence.
It includes, among other things, advertising on billboards and digital and social media, downloadable materials available in multiple languages, multilingual field teams deployed in these communities, phone and text communications, and outreach to local community groups.
Of those five communities, we want to focus today on Lawrence. The city has the highest unemployment rate in the state, above 30%. Lawrence is more than 80% Latinx, has the highest poverty rate in the state, and is still working its way through the aftermath of the deadly Columbia gas explosion 2 years ago this month. Lawrence is also a vibrant community full of strong multi-generational ties and an active social sector. So with all that in mind, we want to explore how Lawrence is responding to this crisis with some civic and elected leaders. Let's start with Dan Rivera, the mayor of Lawrence. Just earlier, we reached Rivera and asked him how his city is holding up.
It's been really a perfect storm for Lawrence. Either you were part of the workers that had to work during the COVID-19, or you were laid off because you were shut down. Not many of our workers in our city can work from home. Or you were part of the gig economy and you lost those jobs, and or you closed your small business, your family business, which we have a lot of here in the city. And so if not for the work of to get people in food insecurity and try to make sure that people stay healthy, I think it would have been a rougher situation. But like I said, for Lawrence, it's been really a perfect storm.
I'm really sorry to hear that. And it comes on the heels of challenges over time, but right now, highest unemployment in Massachusetts, one of eight communities designated high risk. And on top of that, your city was in the midst of recovery after the Merrimack Valley gas explosions. Only 2 days ago, Governor Baker terminated the state of emergency in response to that, almost 2 years after the tragedy. As the city's elected leader, how do you begin to think about recovery? Where do you start, and what's your top priority right now?
Yeah, well, the silver lining about having come out of the gas crisis to today is that there was a bit of muscle memory still on how to react to helping people and how to react to the tragedy that is COVID-19. We were able to stand up a relief effort and really get to the bottom of how to help people every day. And so that's the silver lining. But, you know, I think we've got to focus on the important things, focus on the public health numbers, focus on testing, focus on controlling the spread and public health education for people. Because of our density, I think it is a place where the virus can spread. And so that is not helpful. And I think that's a characteristic of all of us that are in the top five. It's not something specific to our population. It's just the environment in which we live.
To that point, in his noontime press conference today, Governor Baker announced the launch of the COVID-19 Enforcement and Intervention Team, which he says will take a, quote, more aggressive approach, unquote, in partnership with local officials and communities, including Lawrence, to counter the spread of COVID-19. That includes online toolkits, multilingual field teams, phone and text communications. What's your reaction to that news? And were you partnering in advance with the governor on this rollout?
Yeah, we absolutely have been partnering with the governor. If you think about the array of things that he announced today, the enforcement, the outreach, we were really there with him already, with the exception of this new effort they want to do with messaging and more of a media campaign. That is something that we're really excited about because we get to do Spanish language ads to get people to take the COVID-19 fight seriously. But we had already done $300 mask fines. When they first rolled out the red communities, we immediately rolled back restaurant hours to 10 o'clock. We said anytime somebody calls for about a noise complaint, we're going to treat it as a spread event. And by the way, we also procured $1 million to do testing. So we had already been putting some of the toughest sanctions on people who were not doing what they're supposed to do. I think the new tool that we're excited about is the ability to do TV ads to get people serious about this effort.
historically, Lawrence has had an unemployment rate that's about double what the Commonwealth average is at any time. And so in thinking about partnership with the state, about working on pandemic prevention, and eventually we hope for everyone, recovery, what does the economic recovery tale look like for Lawrence? And how much of that has to do with pandemic recovery, and how much of it has to do with larger systemic issues that have been laid bare by this pandemic, but that we need to address as a human community in the Commonwealth now?
If you think about it historically, the number of unemployment seemed like it was always that double the state average. Because we have always a steady stream of newcomers to Lawrence, you know, we call the immigrant city for a reason. And so folks came through all the time. So even if we created 1,000 jobs 1 year, there would be another 1,000 people coming the next year who need a new job. And we'd have to start this cycle all over again. How do we get people trained? How do we get them jobs? And we have a pretty good ecosystem. Now, this COVID-19 has devastated that ecosystem. And then if you add to the fact that we're going to get new folks, new immigrants every year in that number, the gig economy workers who would normally not be in that number, and small businesses, owners of those small businesses who also wouldn't be in that number. So I think that that's why you're seeing such a big number. In the end, if we can get those businesses back on their feet and out of the unemployment column, but in the end, we didn't have enough jobs to begin with. So we're hoping that training, as well as some small business microloans that are available as long-term too, will help deal with this problem.
Do you need more federal aid to be passed? You know, the $600 per week federal unemployment benefit expired at the end of July. Massachusetts is going to start paying out lost wages assistance as part of the pandemic unemployment assistance. That's eligible residents getting additional $300 weekly payments for 3 weeks. But there isn't another bill coming from Congress right now. Do you need to see the federal government pass more aid?
I think that is going to be ultimately very necessary. But I don't think that that's the cure. I think the cure is going to be focused efforts by the federal and the state governments to ensure that the economy can get back on its feet fully. They can throw money at it, and I think money will solve some problems. But the long-term solution here is let's attack this virus to a point where we can get back on the economy back on its feet. Because there is a lot of work out there to be done, but businesses, I think, are still cautious about growing because they don't know what's going to happen next term. But that we've been lacking federal leadership, I think that's an understatement.
What strengths does your immigrant economy and your constant flow of new immigrants to the city bring to you that you can leverage in this moment?
Well, I think the immigrant entrepreneurship, the willingness to hustle and work hard for a day's pay, I think that's inherent. It's what I saw in my mom. It's what I see in workers in Lawrence every day. The immigrant work ethic and the entrepreneurship is what has kept us head above water in the past. I think it's what's going to save us in the future.
In our last 30 seconds or so, Mayor Rivera, what gives you hope right now, and where are you drawing some inspiration and some joy?
I think about, you know, people coming to this country looking for a better life. And even in this pandemic, they're finding some opportunity to have a life that has steady food in it, that has possibility of a job, that their kids are going to get some education, and that in the end, we've been through these things before. The people of Lawrence have shown they have the fortitude to weather it, and mostly because we do it together, and we know that in the end, if we work hard together, that we can get through it.
That's Dan Rivera, the mayor of Lawrence. I appreciate your time today. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Let's turn now to two people who work with organizations in the community trying to fill the gaps. With me is Julia D'Orazio, Development and Communications Manager for Bread and Roses, a soup kitchen in downtown Lawrence. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you.
And also with us is Linda Rohrer, the Executive Director of Mass Hire Merrimack Valley Career Center. Mass Hire is a federally and state-funded network linking workers and employers in Massachusetts. Linda, welcome to you, too.
Good afternoon. Thanks.
So, Linda, I'll start with you. What's the biggest change you've observed in Lawrence since the pandemic began?
Well, for us, before the pandemic, we would see in our office 200 to 400 people walking through the doors daily, people coming in, actually looking for help with their unemployment claims, even though we're not the unemployment office, but we did have staff from the Department of Unemployment Assistance on site who could help with claims. People would be coming in to meet with our counselors, participate in our job search workshops or an employee recruitment. And some would just walk in because they were either looking for a job or they felt they needed training. And now we're not open physically. So we've been doing everything remotely since the beginning of April. So that's really a big change in the way we interact with, with our customers. But, we have been able to ramp up and provide the services virtually. It's been a little learning curve, but we're doing the counseling using phone, Zoom, FaceTime, WhatsApp, providing workshops online using mostly Zoom, both in English and Spanish, and continuing to do workshops to develop job search skills. So
thank you for that, Linda. I'm going to turn to Julia because I want to give her a chance to sort of compare and contrast the changes and the pivots that we just heard from you with what they're experiencing at Bread and Roses. Julia.
We definitely, before the pandemic, were experiencing an increase in the need as far as mostly food support, not just from the gas fires, but from the ongoing housing and opioid crises happening in Greater Boston and Lawrence as well. Upon the pandemic hitting in mid-March, between that time and the time that we had to close, we were completely overwhelmed with an increase, especially for pantry orders during that time. So yes, we can definitely vouch that the need was immediate and real.
The two of you have both had to change the way you do your work. And I wonder, do you feel like you can reach as many people? You're not distributing from a central food pantry, Julia. And Linda, you already told us you've had to pivot and go online. Is it enough? Can you, or does it scale you back to have to change the way you're delivering your services? Linda?
So, I'd say that, for some people, virtual works. They're comfortable with technology. They've got what they need as far as equipment and an internet service. And so in that way, for some people, I think we're increasing our reach. But others obviously don't have computers and aren't tech savvy, but they have cell phones. So we've been figuring out how we can use them for counseling. So I think, we're able to expand our reach somewhat using, virtual ways of reaching people. But I think for the people that either are limited English speaking or are just not comfortable with technology, that, it's an issue. We're a people-facing business, and I think that in-person interaction is really important in helping people achieve the best outcome.
Is that true for you too, Julia?
Yes. Well, Bread and Roses' whole service model is built around providing services in real time, mostly through a walk-in basis. So we've definitely had to pivot how we do things. In lieu of providing, for example, pantry orders upon request, we're focusing on our community food outreach program, which delivers thousands of food to agencies across Lawrence on a daily basis, to agencies that serve, vulnerable populations, including the homeless and immigrants, seniors and veterans. So, we right now we are 100% expanding this program in order to kind of make up for the limitations of not having our actual doors open at this time.
One of the many things that is scary about this pandemic is the uncertainty. And you are both focused, your organizations are focused on helping people survive and eventually thrive. What about your organizations? We don't know how long this is going to go on. Are your organizations going to survive this?
Well, as far as the Career Center, I have to say it's stressful to, not be able to, meet with people in person. I think we're learning new ways of doing business, though. And in some ways, there's a little bit of a, silver lining to this, and that with the addition of some of the tools that we're using, that will, you know, be something that we'll, you know, we'll use in the future. And I think that, I mean, we will survive. So, and maybe we'll improve a little bit what we're doing, but I have to say, I think we're really anxious to get back and into the office and be with people one-on-one.
As far as Bread and Roses is extremely lucky. We've been around for 40 years and, you know, we are community driven and have passionate investment from so many community groups across Lawrence and the Merrimack Valley. And, you know, it is, however, disheartening that our volunteers are unable to, you know, stay engaged on a daily basis and, you know, working with the guests, which is what motivates everybody ultimately. And so that is definitely a challenge. And we miss seeing the people that come in every night for dinner and, you know, the whole extended family of Bread and Roses. We definitely miss that. We will get through this. We definitely will be expanding our capacity at the end of this pandemic.
And listen to the both of you. You're so thoughtful about it and you're so measured. And yet in listening to you, I feel this kind of franticness, this kind of urgency in response to what I'm hearing from you. What's keeping you, the community, going? And how can people help?
Go ahead, Linda.
Well, I think, you know, what's keeping us going is knowing that, you know, we're trying to work with the people, the unemployed people that are needing to work to pay their bills and support their families. Yet they're dealing with the fear of COVID-19, worrying about getting the virus and spreading it to their family members. So, you know, we're just pushing on to do what we can to, you know, help people, you know, find jobs. And actually we try to encourage people at this point to even, you know, during the pandemic, if you're not able to actually go out, try to improve your skills. And we're trying to put out whatever we can, either online, mostly online, ways that people can maybe improve their English, can improve computer skills, gain certificates in some ways. So trying to help people become ready for when the pandemic, you know, is less or is over to really re-enter the job market.
Definitely one thing that keeps us going is the knowledge that agencies that are completely open at this time, such as Lazarus Health and Neighbors in Need, you know, are in full court press doing whatever they can, you know, and so it's really incumbent upon us as a member of that community to bridge that gap as much as we can. Also, you know, we've been leading a collaborative effort with agencies such as Lazarus House and Project Home Again to fast track food and other resources to people who need them, kind of, you know, without some of the red tape. For example, you know, empowering pastors of local churches to refer people to services. So, you know, we've kind of jumped in and we're trying to lend our expertise on how to do things creatively and, you know, in the moment to the community. But, you know, doing what we have for 40 years is what motivates us, I guess.
Well, that's a fabulous answer. And that's Julia D'Orazio, Development and Communications Manager for Bread and Roses. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you.
And Linda Rohrer, the Executive Director of Mass Hire Merrimack Valley Career Center. Linda, thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome.